There was some controversy to start the second when Anthony Volpe was awarded first base on a 3-2 pitch. The newly renovated lower bowl at Rogers Center completes the final redesign of Rogers Center into a baseball-first stadium. Friday, April 12th, Jose Barrios' Gold Glove bobblehead for the first 15,000 fans. The Rockies have never won in Toronto. In the 9 games that have been played here, the Blue Jays are a perfect 9-0. All that and more in this episode of Blue Jays vs. Them. So let's get started. Thank you for tuning in to Blue Jays vs. Them. I am your host, Jerry Schmard. Let's talk Blue Jays baseball. Please let me know in the comments how you feel about the newish formats in the series recaps, or if you prefer the detailed game recaps from last season. Last week, the Blue Jays wrapped up their 10-game road trip to start the season with a 3-game series in Yankee Stadium. The Blue Jays were 3-4 going into the Bronx, with the Yankees 6-1. Yusei Kikuchi got the start against former Blue Jay Marcus Stroman in their first game. The game remained scoreless until the 7th inning when Ernie Clement hit a pinch-hit home run. 2 singles, a walk, and 3 wild pitches led to Toronto scoring 2 more runs in the 9th. Chad Green closed out the 9th, allowing only 2 singles. The Jays won 3-0. Kevin Gausman got the start in the middle game, with his worst outing as a Blue Jay, only managing 1 1/3 innings. The Yankees scored 6 runs in the first 2 innings. There was some controversy to start the second when Anthony Volpe was awarded first base on a 3-2 pitch. His swing hit Toronto's Brian Servin's hand as he caught the pitch. I want to discuss this a little later in the show. Toronto scored their first run in the 3rd and 1 more in the 4th. New York responded with 2 more in the 5th and 1 in the 6th. I have to admit, with a score 9-2 after 6 innings, I turned off the game and watched the Leafs. The Blue Jays scored 3 runs in the 7th and 3 more in the 9th, just falling short of tying the game, losing 9-8. Bowden Francis got his second start of the season, and although he looked good in the first 2 innings, the wheels sort of fell off in the 3rd, giving up a 1-out walk followed by a 2-out single and 2 walks to force in a run, tied the game with 1. Giancarlo Stanton hit a grand slam, giving the Bronx Bombers a 5-1 lead. A Bo Bichette double scored Guerrero in the 5th. The Jays scored again in the 6th, the Yankees scored a run in the bottom half, and along with 2 more in the 8th to win 8-3. The Yankees taking 2 of the 3 games, the Blue Jays would return home with a record of 4-6. The newly renovated lower bowl at Rogers Center completes the final redesign of Rogers Center into a baseball-first stadium. I must say I like the new look and overall feel of it, and I'm sure we'll talk about it throughout the season. Their home opener came against the Seattle Mariners, who were also 4-6 on the season. Jose Barrios got the start and pitched brilliantly for 6 2/3. Throwing 101 pitches, he gave up 4 hits, 1 walk, and struck out 6. Manager John Schneider got booed when he came out to take Barrios out of the game after a 2-out single. It was probably more to do with the second game of the postseason than the current situation. While I personally would have given Barrios a chance to finish off the inning, being up 4-0, I understood the reasoning. The Jays' bullpen gave up 2 runs in the final 2 innings, but it wouldn't be enough to spoil the Jays' home opener. Toronto prevails 5-2. Chris Bassett got the 3rd start of the season, although his first 2 starts didn't go quite as he'd hoped, but seemed to right the ship in his 3rd start. After throwing 101 pitches to complete 6 innings, it was a little surprising that he came out to pitch the 7th inning. After all, 101 pitches was the same amount Schneider allowed Barrios the game before. Bassett threw 14 more pitches, giving up a 2-out home run and a single before John Schneider made the call to the bullpen. The first home run of the homestand came when Bo Bichette hit a 2-out home run in the 3rd to give the Blue Jays a 3-0 lead, his first of the season. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, IKF, or Izzy to his teammates, drove in the Jays' 4th run with a 1-out double. He would later score on a 2-out single by George Springer. With the final score of 5-3, the Blue Jays won their first series of the season and would look for the sweep on Wednesday. Yusei Kikuchi got his 3rd start, allowing 1 run on 6 hits, striking out 9 batters. In the 7th inning, Vladdy hit his 3rd home run of the season to tie the game at 1. The Mariners scored 5 runs in the 10th to avoid a sweep, winning 6-1. The Blue Jays will be in Seattle for 3 games starting July 5th. Let's talk promotional nights and 50-50 draw. Upcoming promotional nights include Friday, April 12th, Jose Barrios' Gold Glove bobblehead for the first 15,000 fans. Junior Jays Sundays, April 14th and 28th. Kids 14 and under can run the bases after the game, but you must pre-register. Monday, April 15th is Jackie Robinson Day. The first 15,000 fans will receive a 42-ball cap. Looney Dog Tuesdays resumes April 16th and 30th. Wednesday, April 17th will be the first Work From Dome night. I'm not sure what that means, but the games start at 3:07. Friday, April 26th is a specialty ticket promotion. With the purchase of the specialty ticket, fans will receive the Blue Jays Hello Kitty Light Up Bow Bobblehead. That's a hair bow, not Bobuchet. Jeez. And finally, on Monday, April 29th, is the Jano Bundle Giveaway. The first 15,000 fans will receive a new blue replica jersey and replica glasses. In addition to in-stadium purchases for Jays Care 50-50 draw tickets, fans 18 and older can purchase online at bluejays.com/5050 anywhere in Ontario and now available to residents in Nova Scotia. I'll leave a link in the description. The remaining early bird prizes include Friday, April 12th, all-inclusive tickets for two to Cancun, Mexico. Sunday, April 14th, 21st, and 28th, there will be 10 cash prizes for $1,000. Thursday, April 25th is for an all-inclusive trip to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic for two. The grand prize is currently estimated to be over $900,000. I mentioned earlier that during the series against the Yankees, there was, in my opinion, a controversial call of catcher's interference. So here's my view. Rather than an out, it led to 5 runs being scored. Toronto commentators believe that since the catch was made and the batter swung afterward, there should have been no interference. It should have been third strike. It was explained later that if the catcher somehow interferes with the swing of the bat, it shall be ruled catcher's interference, and that the batter shall be awarded first base. I don't agree with this, and I hope MLB will revise the rule to account for when the swing takes place and if the ball is already in the catcher's mitt. Right away, I can see people arguing that the catcher can extend their mitt to catch the ball earlier. Okay, fair enough. How about putting a minimum distance catchers can receive the ball behind home plate? My first thought was they couldn't cross the threshold of the rear of the plate, but I thought that could still interfere with a swing. Major League Rule 1.10A states that a bat shall not exceed more than 2.6 inches in diameter and no more than 42 inches long. Having the catchers not extend their glove 42 inches behind the rear plane of home plate seems a bit much. In theory, the barrel of the bat should be at a point of crossing the plate at the time the ball crosses. Obviously, batters will swing late, thereby missing the pitch. I propose that if a ball is caught by the catcher with the mitt no closer than 2/3 the maximum length of the bat, that's 28 inches, behind the plane of the rear tip of the home plate, no catcher's interference will be given. This to me would be a clear indicator that the ball had crossed the plate and the batter's swing could not have resulted in a ball put into play for a base hit. However MLB decides to alter the rule regarding catcher's interference, it's clear there needs to be an amendment, or you could get late swings on third strikes to try to hit the catcher's mitt. Let me know what you think. Should there be an amendment? What do you think of my proposal? Colorado Rockies will make their first trip to Toronto since 2013. The Rockies have never won in Toronto. In the 9 games that have been played here, the Blue Jays are a perfect 9-0. Overall, the Blue Jays are 13-11 against the Rockies, having played 15 of the 24 games in Colorado. That includes 4 of the last 5 series since 2010, when Toronto was swept. The Jays swept the Rockies at Rogers Centre in 2013. The last 3 series against Colorado have been played at Coors Field. Last season, the Jays took 2 of 3, but were swept in 2019, and took 2 of 3 in 2016. As I mentioned, 15 of the 24 games have been played in Colorado. Given the high altitude of the Coors Field, that truly is a home field advantage. I don't know if MLB will even up the imbalance of home and away games between Colorado and Toronto. After this season, the Jays will have only hosted them for 12 of the 27 games. If the Jays host them for 2025 and 2026, they'll have hosted Colorado for 18 of the 33 games, giving Toronto 3 more home games. Then Colorado can host for 2027 and alternate going forward. Our scheduled starters for this weekend series are Gausman, Francis, and Berríos. Gausman should have a bounce-back start from his horrific start last time out. I expect him to go 7 innings. Bowden Francis is yet unproven. If he can get through 5 clean innings, the Jays can keep using him in the rotation. If he can't get through 5, I'd say either Mitch White or Paolo Espino should slide into the 5th spot. Before you ask, I have very little confidence for Manoah's return to the rotation as the 5th starter. I see no reason for Brios not to have a good outing for his third start in Game 3. Given that the Rockies are currently 3-10 on the season and have never won a game in Toronto, anything less than a sweep should be looked at as a disappointment. Like our 10-game road trip, the Yankees will be in town to close out our 9-game homestand. Then the team will head off to San Diego to face the Padres. As I mentioned last week, the Bronx Bombers have a .583 winning percentage in Toronto, currently 18 wins more than Toronto. You'd have to go back to a series in April 2021 for the last time the Blue Jays won a 3-game series at home, taking 2 of the 3 games. The projected starters for the series should be Chris Bassitt, Yusei Kikuchi, and Kevin Gausman. I'd say we take 2 of the 3 and win our third consecutive series before heading out to San Diego. That should do it for this episode. I look forward to talking Blue Jays baseball next week. I hope you'll join me. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to one of the podcast providers. It really does bring awareness to the podcast. In addition to the providers I named last week, Blue Jays vs. Them can be found on Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and Pocket Casts. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in and look forward to talking with you next week. This is Blue Jays vs. Them, and I'm your host, Jerry Schmerz. Let's go, Blue Jays! Let's go!